Well, Happy New Year to each of you. I haven't had a chance to say that yet. Happy New Year. I think today is one of those special days, similar to last Sunday, Christmas Day, that are filled with expectancy, with anticipation. It's just a little different sort of day. Christmas, I think, is one of those days that everyone is looking forward to. In many ways, it's a culmination of Advent. Christ has come. We're waiting. It arrives. And so we run downstairs or we run into the next room and we open our gifts together as a family, or we look at what Santa brought us in our stockings. These are things we do that we can't wait for. New Year's is filled with expectancy as well, but it's more of a hopeful expectancy of what will happen from this day forward. It's not the end, it's the beginning. And we have a chance for a fresh start. We have a chance for God to do something new in 2017. A chance not to see how God has come, but how God will come and how God will work and how God will move in our lives over the next 365 plus days. I hope you've had a good week. I hope you've been able to spend it with family and friends. Maybe your rhythm, your normal routine got messed up. Mine sure did. And because of that, my sermon today is a little different than typical. Usually when I prepare a sermon, I spend a lot of time in prayer. And then I spend a lot of time reading the scriptures and I look through different things. I look in the original language or I'll look at commentaries. I read books. I read a lot of books. This year, I ended up reading a little less than 25,000 pages in 2016. I like to read. And so I read and I prepare and then I start writing down notes for my sermon. I'll make a list and usually around Thursday, maybe Friday, sometimes Saturday, I finish writing out the sermon and I preach from a manuscript, from a text. Roger Ling comes and gets it every Sunday, first thing when I'm done, the text of the sermon. I don't always stay on track. Those who follow with the PowerPoint sometimes know I can get a little sideways, but it helps me to stay focused, which is a good thing because we have a lot of distractions in our services. We have a very different congregation. It can be difficult to somehow preach a message that everybody can connect to and relate to in some way. So I like to preach from a manuscript. This week, I didn't have a chance to prepare like I normally do because I was gone. And so I have no manuscript. I'm just going to talk, and we'll see what happens. We'll pray that God, you know, does something. No, we do have a plan. We are prepared. And this week gave me lots of chances to pray as much as always and to prepare for today as I experienced things with my family and friends. Last Sunday after church, we went up to my in-laws' house, Howard and Linda's. You know them. They're a part of the church. We went to their house for Christmas. Had a wonderful time. Receive gifts. I think, you know, for Christmas, you may have got gifts from friends, and you sometimes know what you're going to get, and every once in a while, someone surprises you, and you get something a little bit more than you expected. That happened with me. Monday, we drove down to St. Louis, to the Illinois side of southern Illinois, right down by St. Louis, Missouri. For my parents, spent Christmas with them and with my sister and her family, and again, I received things that I wasn't exactly expecting. It was great. Tuesday, we drove over to my alma mater and my wife's alma mater, Greenville College. We had to eat at Mario's Pizza. It's our favorite pizza place. It's my absolute favorite thin crust pizza in the world. I've never tasted better crust. If you have a favorite thin crust pizza and you want to convince me it's better, tell me about it. I'm happy to take you up on that little taste test. But if you're in Greenville, you have to go to Mario's. And then Wednesday, we went into St. Louis to my wife and my other alma mater, where we both did our doctoral work at St. Louis University. Showed it to our sons, went by Busch Stadium, the home of my Cardinals, got something to eat on what's known as the Hill. The Hill is a part of St. Louis where a lot of Italian immigrants moved many years ago, and so there's really, really good Italian food. And we went to our favorite restaurant, Canetto's. Have you ever gone back home or gone someplace and you've built up in your mind what the memory is like, and then sometimes when you're there, it doesn't quite live up to the standard? That's not what happened in this case. This was better than what I was expecting. It was better than I remembered. It was more than I was hoping for. It was wonderful this great week. For New Year 2017, there's a prayer that I want to have us learn or go over. It's actually a couple of verses of scripture that St. Paul writes to a church in Ephesus. This is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and we're going to have it on the screen, and I want you to read it with me. We're going to read this several times throughout the sermon today, so let's read Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and always. Amen. Now, we aren't all just primarily English speakers at Central. We have many who speak Swahili as well. And so we're all going to read this, if you dare and can try, in Swahili too this morning. So let's read Ephesians 3, Wafesu 3, 20 and 21 in Swahili. Utukufu ni wake yeye, ambaye ana uwezo, wakutenda zaidi ya yele, tuna yo yaomba, na kuwawatia kwa kadiri ya ninguvu yake ina yafanya kazi ndani yetu. Utukufu ni wake katika kanisa na katika Kristo Yesu kwa vizazi vyote milele na milele. Amen. Very good. You know, 2016 was very good in many, many ways. There are very many good things that happened. And towards the end, even though there's a lot of talk about how hard of a year it was, I think there were many blessings that happened as well. Many blessings that you were a part of. Just the last couple of weeks before the year ended, we were able to give out food to over 550 people at Thanksgiving and Christmas together because of you. Thank you for that. Thank you for serving. You contributed boots and coats and mittens and shoes and gloves and all kinds of things that we were able to give to people who might have been a little cold during a Michigan winter. Thank you for giving and for helping and for serving in those ways. We were able to contribute over $1,500 to a pastoral family in our conference through the Christmas Eve offering that you gave, all of it to bless another family who's serving somewhere in our conference. Thank you for giving. And there were other blessings towards the end of the year as well. There were a couple new babies born. Rishi McLeod Marin, Frida Eleanor Schneider. Is there anything better than a new baby to start the year? What a great reason to celebrate. And we did that too. There were some parties that happened. In 2016, we started partnering with a ministry called Stepping Up Together. This is a ministry that's connected with the Michigan Adolescent Parenting and Pregnancy Prevention Program. Works with young women and men who suddenly find themselves pregnant and were not expecting to get pregnant and are dealing with all the stresses that come with that. We had a large party for them the Thursday before Christmas next door. Our Nepali Fellowship, who's worshiping right now, had a large Christmas day, all day long gathering. For the little bit of time I was able to spend with them, they were absolutely rejoicing and celebrating God's goodness and grace. They then again partied yesterday. We had a large party last night, the international party. I know Beth was here with I have no idea how many people. Pastor Joanna was here. I think many of us may have been up past midnight partying. I'm going to guess few of us, unless you were here, were with as many people from as many different places in this marvelous snapshot of what it will look like in the kingdom of God in heaven one day. Our Haitian congregation on Christmas Eve met here. Even last night, right where I'm standing, below me, they had a baptism service to usher in the new year, bringing people into the body of Christ, this symbolic dying to self, rising from Christ, this old life going away, this new life coming. Is there a better way to start the new year than to see the old gone and the new has come? Is there a better way for any of us to go into 2017 than believing that God can still do a new thing? This is our verse again this morning. Let's read it once more. Ephesians 3, 20 and 29. Glory to God who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and always. Amen. And again, in Swahili, Utukufu ni wake yeye, ambaye ana uwezo, wakutenda zaidi ya yele, tuna yo yaombe na kuwawazia, kwa kadiri ya nguvu yake, ina yofanya kazi ndani yetu. Utukufu ni wake katika kanisa na katika Kristu Yesu, kwa vizazi vyote, milele na milele. Amen. You know, sometimes things go exactly like we think they will go. Sometimes our plans fall into place and everything works the way that we hope they will work. About a year ago at this time, I was getting ready to leave for Europe, to go to England in February and come back and then go back to Italy in March. We were taking time. We were in our sabbatical. And the plans that were already set in place, we were pretty sure were going to happen the way they did. And they did, especially in Italy. My wife, my sons, they could look at the itinerary. They knew that I was exactly where I said I was going to be on the days that I said I was going to be there. Sometimes those plans line up. Sometimes the plans don't line up quite so much, though, do they? How many of you make New Year's resolutions? This is the time to do that. How many of you now, 10 hours and 40 minutes into the new year, have already broke your New Year's resolution as we've started? Sometimes that happens, too, and we don't keep these things that we had planned to do, excuse me, for various reasons. When I went on sabbatical, I had a couple of goals. One of the goals I had was that when I came back on Easter Sunday, that I would be this chiseled Adonis, that I would be in wonderful shape. And so in January, I would wake up every morning in January. I got up and I went to church, and then I went to the gym, and I worked out for about an hour or so. In February, I wasn't able to go to the gym. We were in Europe, but we walked an average of 8 miles every day, such that by the end of February, I had dropped between 10 and 15 pounds and was in much better shape. And then I went to Italy, where you eat, you know, pasta and gelato and tiramisu for every meal. And I know no one feels sad for me, but I gained back 15 to 20 of those pounds, and it didn't go away. My son laughed and said, I thought you said you were going to have a six-pack when you came back at Easter. And I said, well, I do. It's just very, very insulated right now. Sometimes our plans don't work as well as we think. Sometimes the things that we have in mind don't go the way we want. I had planned to write a book on sabbatical, read a lot, study a lot, write a lot. I read a lot, studied a lot. I have not written a lot. Our plans don't always go the way we want. Sometimes the plans don't go the way we want, and it's not because we had any control over the matter at all. In February, I went to Cambridge University. That's part of where I was at. I was able to work in their library. This is my library card for Cambridge University. You have to get screened. You can't just walk in. There's a process you have to go by to prove you're a visiting scholar, and what are you here to study? What are you planning to do to get access to the rare book room? The university was founded in 1209. So when you have books that are there that are 900-something years old, they don't let just anybody wander in and get them. So I went through the screening, got my card. I remember the first day in the library just being overwhelmed and finding what I was looking for and sitting and studying and then leaving with my backpack and being stopped by security. I wasn't really sure what was going on. My ancestors, they were involved in the execution of King Charles I in the British, in the English Reformation or the Revolution, the Civil War that happened. You can go to one of my ancestors' homes now where they still debate, is he a villain or is he a hero? I know which one I think. I also know which one my wife thinks, but she doesn't share blood, so she's wrong. And so I thought maybe I'm on some, like, you know, UK watch list because of my family's terrorist ties. I have no idea. But the reality was you're not supposed to take backpacks into the university. You could be smuggling out books that are hundreds and hundreds of years old. I had no idea. I don't remember seeing any signs that said you couldn't take your backpack through the checkpoint. I had not had plans to go the way I want, and there was a certain amount of ignorance on my part. Rest assured, the next several times I went back to the library, I did not take my backpack in. But I had to learn through my ignorance. Sometimes that happens. But that's okay. Give glory to God who is able, is how the verse that we've been reading starts. And that word able, when St. Paul's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, he's writing in Greek, and the word he uses there in Greek is dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. Sometimes God needs to blow up our plans in order to get us to do what God wants us to do. Sometimes the bad has to be blown up for us to move to a better place. When I was delivering food boxes after Christmas, and many of you helped, and you know the joy of taking food to someone who needs it. I was taking food boxes to a family that I've served at different times throughout the year. It's a single mom who sometimes has custody of her children and is doing the best she can. And I took the food boxes to her house, and she welcomed me in, and the kids were there, and they all come running. They're all super excited because mom let them open some Christmas presents early. Each of the three kids had a brand new Nintendo DS. And I remember thinking, how can you spend your money on brand new Nintendo DSs, but yet say you don't have enough money for food? How can you keep coming back to me at the church saying you need help when you clearly have funds? Is this really the best use of your money? I was honestly a little upset with how that went. And as I've thought about that since then, I remembered a story that one of my new American friends, he lives out in Pennsylvania now, that he had told me when he first visited Washington, D.C. in the area. He went to Mount Vernon, George Washington's home. And he saw the house, and he saw the plantation, he saw everything, and he remembered thinking that this is nice, but there are many other nicer houses around, even older houses. There are many bigger houses. What makes this house so special? And someone had to point out to him, it's not the house itself. It's the house's connection to George Washington. It's what George Washington means to us as citizens of the United States of America. It's what he means to our history. The house in and of itself isn't special. It's special because of the value that Washington placed on the house. I remember in that living room with that mom who had the Nintendo DSs feeling chagrined. And then she said to me, you know, it might look bad for me to just spend my money on stuff like this, but I wanted my kids to feel like they had a normal Christmas just once. And in that moment, it changed my perspective. Even if she hadn't said that, even if she had wasted and squandered her money, as many of us do, God had to blow up my perception of people to realize they aren't valuable because of what they necessarily do. I shouldn't learn to see people that way. I should learn to see them as they have value because of what they mean to my Heavenly Father. Mount Vernon has value because of what it meant to Washington. Every single person you will meet today has value because of what they mean to God, not because of what they can do for you, not because of what they do for us. I had to have my idea blown up so I could learn to see her in different eyes, so I could learn to see as God sees, so I could learn to maybe love a little bit more like God loves. This is our verse again, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Let's read it. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and always. Amen. And again, in Swahili, utukufu ni wake yeye ambaye ana uwezo ka kutenda zaidi ya yele tuna yo ya amba na kuya wazia kwa kadiri ya ninguvu yake ina yo fanya kazi ndani yetu. Utukufu ni wake katika kanisa na katika Kristo Yesu kwa vizazi vyote milele na milele. Amen. Now, there's another part of that passage that I want us to make sure we pay attention to this morning. It's what I call, and what I fear we sometimes have, is a deficit of imagination. Beyond all we could ask for or imagine is what Paul writes. It's what we've been saying. God, who is able to do far beyond all we could ask or imagine. I wonder how much we imagine that God could do in our lives. I wonder sometimes how much we ask God to do in our lives, because I believe that God loves us, and I believe God is for us, and I believe God is for you. He's for you, even in the midst of your cancer, in the midst of your death, in the midst of your pain. If you were with us over Christmas, even Christmas, you heard me talk about God's presence, even in the absence. He's there in the midst of this. What hardship are you going through that you need to have some bold imagination that God can heal? What hardship have you come through in 2016 that you're asking God to intervene in? What situation have you had that you're sitting with even now that causes you anxiety, that causes you worry, that maybe gives you sleepless nights, and you need to ask for God to do something that maybe you don't dare to believe he could possibly do? Just as there are hard stories in 2016 that we carry into 2017, there were, as we already mentioned, some of these blessings that we've experienced. I believe God is for us. He's for us in the joy. He's for us in life. He's for us in peace. He's for us in hope. God is with you in those marvelous things that you celebrate that happen, that carry over. Those blessings you got that a year ago you weren't expecting to get. And just as surely as God will be with you with the hard times that will yet come in 2017, God will be with you in the blessings that will yet come in 2017. God is for you. Do we dare to believe that he is? Do we ask him to bless us? Do we imagine that he can do far beyond what we can hope for or imagine or possibly dream? What can you imagine from God in 2017? I'm not talking about a name it, claim it theology, but an expectancy, a desire, a longing, a hope, a prayer that God would move in powerful ways among you. As I think about Central and what I hope and what I imagine, what I expect, is I expect that God would continue to change us into a church where anybody who walks through these doors immediately knows that there's a God of love who gives grace to them and they are accepted because they see it in you and they see it in me. That everyone who comes here would be bound together with a group that helps them grow in their relationship. Something that's beyond what you get from me for half an hour, 20 minutes, 45 minutes, however long on a Sunday morning. You're in a Sunday school class. You're in a discipleship group. You have people who love you and pray for you. And these aren't just groups you lead either, that all of us are being fed by someone, somewhere, somehow. We're doing something to nurture our spirit, and we're becoming more and more images of Jesus Christ, that more and more people feel welcome, that more and more people feel loved, that more and more people find forgiveness for their sins and their burdens made just a little lighter because Christ takes it away. I believe he can do that. I believe he does do that. I believe he will do that. That's my prayer. How do you imagine that God can work? What is it you think God will do in you and through you in 2017? Our prayer again, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Glory to God who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and always. Amen. And Swahili, utukufu ni wake yeye, ambaye ana uwetsu, wakutenda zaidi yayele, tuna yoyoamba nakuya wazia, kwa kadiri ya nguvu yake ina yofanya kazi ndani yetu. Utukufu ni wake katika kanisa na katika Kristo Yesu kwa vizazi vyote milele na milele. Amina. The heart of this prayer is there's an assumption. There's an assumption that there is a power at work at the universe. I have a few questions for you about this. Do you believe that there is a higher power? Do you believe in God? Do you believe that God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, into the earth, and that he is the way and the truth and the life? Do you believe that he paid the price for your sins and that you have forgiveness even now? Do you believe that God loves you enough, that while you were still a sinner, he forgave your sins? Do you believe this? And will you walk in this truth in 2017? And whether you do or whether you don't, I have a couple other questions as well. Where are you going to put your energy this year? We all choose to do different things. Where are you going to spend your time? Where are you going to spend your efforts? Where are you going to put your energy in 2017? How will you live to serve other people and to give glory to God? Part of that decision is also deciding what is it you're going to leave behind. What has happened in 2016 that you do not want to carry forward into tomorrow? What pain do you have? Real pain. The loss of two nieces in Canada, Jean-Pierre and the Abuelela family. We pray for you and pray that God's blessing will be upon you as you continue to grieve the loss of your nieces. These are real, and many of us have pains and we carry them, but they do not have to define us into tomorrow. What pain are we going to leave behind? And I will not carry this as a thing that defines my future, even though it is a part of my past. What problems do you have with other people that continue to stunt your growth as a follower of Jesus Christ that just make you feel less of a person that you know God has made you to be because it's painful and it's hurtful? Who do you need to ask for forgiveness from? Who do you need to forgive that has asked you for forgiveness? What problems with others do you need to leave in the past? What things have other people handed off to you that you just need to say, I'm not going to carry that. I've been shouldering this and it's not mine. I've got enough burdens of my own. Today's problems are sufficient for today. I don't need to add yours as well. What things do you need to let go of and leave in 2016 so that you move forward into 2017 with joy, with expectancy, with hope, with the belief that God walks with you and that whatever you are asked to carry, he'll give you the strength to carry it? How are you living your faith? How are you giving glory to God? How are you putting these words into practice that there is a God who is able to do far beyond what we imagined? There is a power at work within us. Let's read that verse again. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and always. Amen. In Swahili, Utukufu ni wake yeye ambaye ana uwezu wakutenda zaidi ya yale tuna yoyoamba na kuyawazia. Kwa kadiri ya nguvu yake inayofanya kazi ndani yetu. Utukufu ni wake katika kanisa na katika Kristo Yesu kwa vizazi vyote milele na milele. Amina. For my birthday a couple weeks ago, one of the presents my wife gave me is this wonderful wall calendar. It sits right above my desk in my office. I can look right at it, and it's this cartoon. It's got the church year, and it shows me the different holidays for 2017 on a church calendar. Pentecost, Epiphany coming up later this week, different things like that. It shows John and Charles Wesley, and there's a little comedy, cartoonish sketch out on the ocean, and they're in their boat, and it talks about how you remember your baptism. Charles is complaining to his brother John that, you know, when people got baptized, I think they thought it would help them feel a little bit more secure and not force them to dive deeper into their faith, he's saying as their boat gets capsized. And John sort of playfully says to Charles, go deep or go home, Charles. Go hard or go home. I think our faith calls us to live hard, and our faith calls us to live long, and our faith calls us to go deeper than we sometimes do. On that wall calendar, there's a prayer. It's a prayer that we prayed at Thanksgiving, if you were with us in our Thanksgiving service. It's a prayer of commitment that John Wesley and his followers, the Methodists, said as they would gather together. It simply says, I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee, or let me be laid aside for thee. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. In the corner of this little calendar, it talks about 2017. And it has a name for 2017. It calls it the year of grace. May this year be a year of grace for you and for me as we trust in a God who has the power to do abundantly more. As we trust in a God who can give more than we ask or imagine. As we trust in a God who sometimes blows things up and they needed to be destroyed a long time ago. As we trust in a God who has this power to work. As we trust in a God who gets all the glory because it is for him, not only in the church, but through Christ Jesus for the entire world, for generations, forever and always. May this be a year of grace for you. May this be a year of grace for everyone we meet. May this be a year of grace where we grow and where we trust and where we believe that God hears our New Year's prayer. And one last time, let us say it together. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and always. Amen. And with our friends in Swahili, utukufu ni wake yeye ambaye ana uwezu wakutenda zaidi ya yele tuna yoyoamba na kuyawazia. Kwa kadiri ya nguvu yake inayofanya kazi ndani yetu. Utukufu ni katika kanisa na katika Yesu Kristu kwa vizazi vyote milele na milele. Amina. God is a good God, and God has always been a good God, and God was a good God in 2016, and I believe that you'll come to see that he's not only good, but he's a great God in 2017 and in the years to come. Whatever God may bring your way, may you trust that God goes with you, and may you pray a prayer that God will do abundantly more than you can hope for. God is far from finished with any of us yet. God has great things in store. I believe that with all my heart. May 2017 be a year of blessing, where we see Satan fall like lightning, where God brings us together in powerful ways, where we pray like Pastor Brittany, or like Brittany mentioned earlier today, every morning for things, where we're willing to confess our sins. And some of you already do that with me. Let me tell you, if the greatest sin you have to confess is that you didn't finish your reading through the Bible till you sat in a deer stand the last couple of days of the year, then God bless all of you. But may we pray that God helps us to be such people, that we do confess willingly. We have authentic relationships with others. Our community gets stronger because we're transparent, because we lean on each other more than anything. We lean on the power of the Holy Spirit, because God is alive, and God is with us, and God is with you. May this be a year of grace, and may you find his grace in powerful ways. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, thank you for 2016 and for the lessons we learned, some that we would love to revisit, some we wouldn't ask to be visited on our worst enemies. But you've been with us all through it. You do not change. We pray, Lord, though, that as we listen to your word, as we gather with your people, as we come into your presence, that we change more and more into your likeness, that we understand that all of the parts of our past are part of who we are, but the future is still being written. The future is something that we can change. We can become the people that we've always wanted to be. We can become the people our parents believed we could be. We can become the people that you've created us to be, daughters and sons of God, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. May we be transformed into your likeness daily. May we grow in holiness daily. May we learn to become perfect as you are perfect daily. And Lord, may we strive with all of our hearts to be perfected in this love, to be filled with this love, to be persons in 2017 who are filled and who demonstrate grace. Glory to God. May that be on our lips every morning. May we have this deep prophetic imagination that you can do far more than what we've thought you could do. Lord, may we cease to be surprised when you answer prayer because we expect it will happen. And may we have the faith to pray even when it doesn't work the way we think it's supposed to go. May we be people who pray zealously and fervently for healing and for hope. And may we be people who live this and who practice this and who trust in you every day, no matter where you take us, no matter what you do. Thank you for 2016. And as we now come into 2017, Lord, we thank you for it. And pray that it will be your year, a year of your blessing. I pray a year of your will being done in our lives. Bless us and guard us and keep us and help us to be yours. So that a year from now we will praise you and thank you for the things you've done. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, who with the Father and the Spirit is one God, now and forevermore. Amen. May you go and may you have a good new year. May you go and trust that God is with you. May you believe that 2017 has the best things in store for you and your family and your life. And may you give glory to God. Grace and peace be with you all, and happy new year. You're dismissed.